This is Bloomberg Markets. I'm Pim Fox, along with Lisa Abramowitz. We are broadcasting from Pershing Insights 2017 conference at the Manchester Hyatt in San Diego. This year marks 19 years of Insight, 19 years that the company is committed to the success of its advisors, and we are here with more than 2,000 financial professionals from all over the globe. And it's my pleasure to introduce one of those professionals. Mark Tabergian joins us. He is the Chief Executive Officer for Pershing Advisor Solutions. He is also the author of a variety of books related to financial literacy, such as Practice Made Perfect, How to Value, Buy, and Sell a Financial Advisory Practice. Mark, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What is the biggest issue on the minds of registered investment advisors, money managers, and I want to say sort of not very small shops, but those that may have less than 50 people and are not affiliated with a very large organization?
By definition, most registered investment advisors are small businesses if you put an SBA filter through it. And so they experience many of the same challenges that any small business does. Probably the most acute challenge is around talent. So the instinct is to say regulation is an issue or market threats is an issue, but there is an acute talent shortage in this business today, and that is creating real limitations on growth for many of these firms.
What is the talent that you're talking about in particular? Is it the ability to interact with people? Is it the ability to navigate the growing world of robo-advisory software and ETFs? What specifically is the skill that people need?
Frankly, it's a skill in all areas, from direct contact with clients to the operations and administrative elements of the business. It's important to know that since 2008, there are 40,000 fewer financial professionals in this country. There are 1,400 fewer broker-dealers. And what's happened is that the industry has taken such a hit that many people coming out of university are not contemplating this as a career choice.
Is it partly because the salaries have gone down?
No, actually, this is one of those great careers where you get financially rewarded, intellectually stimulated, you get opportunity to act independently, to profoundly impact the lives of others. So just add long walks on the beach, it's a pretty good personal ad.
And no no retirement target in terms of when you have to leave the practice,
right?
Necessarily.
Nothing is forcing that. And so if you think about being a young student looking for a career that's fulfilling and rewarding, then this certainly becomes one of those places to come to. For what it's worth, a couple of years ago, we asked our reverse mentor group, this is a group of millennials, to inquire among their friends who chose not to come into this business why they said not. And first reason was, didn't study finance in school, so never considered it as a career. Two, they thought that it was just a sales job. And three, they perceived the industry as being corrupt. And so when you have those elements playing against the profession, none of which are true, by the way, it makes it very difficult for us to contemplate how we're going to recruit people to the business.
For those of us who remember, there used to be training programs in a variety of the big brokerage firms. Those have basically disappeared. Is there anything that's replacing that?
So one of the big challenges, I think, that is creating this is we used to have big, large employer-based financial institutions that would recruit people and create a career path for them. Now what we have is a more fragmented industry, many small businesses. There are 28,000 registered investment advisors, mostly independently owned. Most of them don't have a human capital strategy. So it's really more of an industry crisis than an individual business crisis. And it's one of those things that we have to think about. How do we appeal to young people earlier? And how do we help those small businesses become more proficient at recruiting and developing talent?
You know, I'm compelled by the idea that there's a shortage of talent at a time when the industry is broadly believed to be contracting. We hear so much about consolidation, about the cost cuts that are going on broadly across the investment industry. How do you square these two ideas?
Well, frankly, there's an oversupply of clients and an undersupply of people to provide advice. So,
When you're talking about clients, can you be a little more specific? Which clients in particular are looking for advisors and are sort of creating the opportunities?
These would be individuals at different income and wealth classes. The so-called robo movement is really enhancing the experience that advisors have with individuals rather than replacing it. So that hasn't yet proved to be a threat unto itself. Consolidation is true, at least among the employer-based firms, because they're thinking of return to shareholders. Among the independent firms, the rate of growth has been phenomenal. There were 750 new RIAs that were formed last year alone. So consolidation is really happening. If you ignore the large companies for a minute, the consolidation among the smaller firms is occurring because these businesses are trying to get to critical mass. They recognize that they have to behave like a business. They have to think strategically, have a human capital plan, focus on operating efficiency. So we're not seeing consolidation happen because old advisors are dead or dying. It's happening because young advisors are thinking, how do I build a real business that's enduring?
I wonder if you could speak a little bit about the compensation programs that exist, the models, because previous to coming to Pershing, you were partner in charge at Moss Adams in Seattle, the
yes.
accounting firm.
That's right.
And the incentives for fee-based, for commission-based, I'm wondering if you could see your way towards the future, what you think would work, because we know what lawyers do. They charge by the hour. Accountants, that may be a negotiated compensation plan. What do you see happening in this space?
There's some big changes, but I'd make a distinction between the revenue generation methodology and the way people get paid once they're inside the firm. So first is the relationship between the advisory firm and the client. This is the only profession I know where the client pays based on the value they bring rather than the value the professional brings. The more you have, the more you pay, which is an odd sort of, it'd be like...
Right, in the legal profession, for example, a lawyer charges you whatever the lawyer charges you. It
right.
doesn't matter what your bank account says.
Exactly. It'd be like a doctor charging me by the pound. I couldn't afford him, so I'd have to think about that. So one of the shifts that's happening is more of a consistent approach to fee charging. In fact, a study done by Bob Verries recently showed that 25% of advisors are actually charging a retainer, either instead of or in addition to an asset management fee. So there's a shift towards a more fixed structure. The variable compensation model around commissions is an example. Pershing being the largest clearing firm in the U.S., we've observed since 2008 that assets on our platform have grown from 5% of the total to 53% of the total. So the shift towards a more advisory fee-oriented type of approach is reflected in our client base quite clearly.
Do you think that more people are seeking out financial advisors in order to get guidance about how to use ETFs? In other words, there's this feeling that there are all these passive investments that have relatively low fees. Perhaps it's worth paying a little bit more to get some advice on how to invest and how to allocate.
I think what you find among most advisors is that they use some sort of passive instrument as a core solution, and then the satellite might be active instruments like mutual funds or even individual securities in some cases. But the reason that that most people are seeking out advisors is because their lives have become more complex. What we're finding, it's not just about investing, but it's about the complexity of choices that people have to make around cash flow, around how long will they live and will they have enough to endure, about estate planning, about where they'll live. So these become choices that as individuals become more consumed with the complexity of their lives, they have to seek professional guidance in what they're doing. And I think this is one of the reasons why we find so many people attracted to this business who are not necessarily finance professionals, but really human professionals with a capability around finance.
I want to pick up on that because this idea of consistent guidance, you go to a doctor when you're sick, you seek legal advice when you need it. But with a financial advisor, whether you're managing the money of an individual or a small business and their pension plan, that's an ongoing relationship.
It should be, because our lives don't start and stop with one conversation. And even in our health, I use the concierge program at New York Presbyterian as an ongoing relationship. I find I have more ailments since I've done that. But what we see is a real change in how people are thinking about their relationship with the advisors. So clearly what makes a difference is that When we look at how people are engaging with the advisors, they're trying to deal with more issues that are beyond.
Should it be a regularly scheduled meeting? I mean, for example, if you're going to meet every 3 months, is that enough? Or how should you do it rather than just wait until you have some catastrophe in the market or some problem with an individual's finances?
I'll personalize it. In our own example, my wife and I have worked with the same advisor for over 10 years. We have quarterly meetings, but we have regular communication via email on different issues, on different questions. And that's an ongoing relationship. And the significance is that they're not just reporting on investment return. They're reporting on the choices that we're making and whether or not we're progressing towards implementing it.
I'm sure a lot of people who are getting closer to retirement stay up at night worrying. So I'm sure it would be better for them just to have a conversation with somebody on a more regular basis. Thank you so much for joining us.